Tell me what these proposals would have done or would have had the Pentagon do.
Essentially, there were two proposals. One was to improve DCAA's, or the Defense Contract Audit Agency's, access to contractor records. There was a court decision about 20 or so years ago called Newport News, and this court decision basically hindered DCAA's access or subpoena power over contractor records. Basically, it limited it to just the records that were directly tied to a contract. And what DCAA has long wanted is access to internal contractor audits, management reviews inside the companies they're looking at, and other related records. And the Associated Press just a couple years ago took a look at DCAA's use of its subpoena power and hasn't used a subpoena in over 20 years. And this is partly related to this court-imposed limitation on DCAA. And that's one of the two proposals. The other one relates to the amount that contractors can charge taxpayers for compensation of their employees. And essentially, DCAA wanted to extend that cap on what they can charge taxpayers to a greater number of employees. Right now, it just applies to the top five executives at each contractor facility. And what DCAA wanted was an expansion of that cap to all employees. So, you know, you wouldn't have engineers making $400,000 a year at Lockheed Martin, essentially, if DCAA's wishes came true.
Let me ask you about the first one, the contractor records. What limits would there be or should there be as to what the DCAA should be able to get, either under these recommendations or just in your view in life in general?
Well, I think DCAA needs the records it needs to do its job appropriately. You know, it's the contract auditor, and if companies want access to taxpayer dollars, they need to be able to open their books and allow DCAA to access records. So we know what they're charging is reasonable and in line with the law. So DCAA claims that it can't do its job according to government auditing standards unless it has greater access to contractor records. And there's also a bit of a debate within the DCAA community in terms of, well, you know, is it fully exercising the power it has now versus does it need greater power? And I think most people within DCAA think it does need greater power. You know, many contractors disagree.
How do you find that balance, though? Because the contractor has rights, too. It's hard to argue with your position that greater transparency is due to the taxpayers. But there is a balance there between giving DCAA more access to their records and giving them so much access that they can just go wherever they want without the contractor being able to have any kind of privacy or other kinds of rights.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, there's a balance that has to be struck, and I think a lot of these things will come down. If DCAA had this greater power, I think much of this would come down to negotiation at the end of the day. And the contractor argument is, you know, we don't want DCAA auditors going rummaging around all of our files when those files don't directly relate to contracts. However, if you look at it from the auditor perspective, you know, many of those internal reviews may shed light on the costs that contractors are passing on to taxpayers.
The negotiation process, I imagine, though, could be fairly tedious. And would you need legislation, or what would you need in a negotiation process to have to prevent the contractor from saying, we just don't want to give you that?
I mean, right now, what DCAA, right now you have inspectors generals and the GAO have the powers that DCAA wants. And the IG Act of 1978, you know, came after the DCAA was created. DCAA was created in the 1960s. And so DCAA did not benefit from the kind of powers Congress thought an audit agency needs to do a good job. And so, in a lot of ways, I mean, you can look at what the IGs do, and it's an interesting test. Are the IGs overstepping their bounds when it comes to access to contractor records? And so I think there's a, you know, there's something we can look at now as a basis for judging whether or not, you know, if we gave this to DCA, would they overstep their powers as well?
April Stevenson, shall we say, moved from her job as director at DCAA in 2009 after some problems that were unrelated to this at that agency. Do you think that has any impact on the perception of those recommendations?
I mean, we have had a lot of comments on our blog, on Pogo's blog, and Government Executive, which, you know, originally broke this story with us on Thursday, has had a lot of comments on their blog. And there's a lot of mention of Stevenson and, was, you know, was this her swan song? I mean, if you read the proposal, and if, based on what some of these commenters who purport to be DCAA employees say, you know, DCAA, this wasn't the first time DCAA sought these powers. You know, apparently Stevenson, I think earlier, had asked for greater subpoena power, at least according to a couple commenters. I don't know if that's true or not, but if it is true, I mean, I think it shows that this wasn't just an attempt to save face. And I think, you know, leaving aside the perception here, I think, you know, greater DCAA subpoena power is definitely warranted from my point of view.
Appreciate your perspective and for being on to talk with us about this afternoon, Nick. Thanks for your time.
Thanks, Francis.